I want to share a little something with you that's important to me, and it involves a life-changing decision, and I know many of you have made life-changing decisions as well, so we would like to celebrate all of those. 312-981-7200, that's the phone and the text. So if you made a life-changing decision and you're willing to share, I'd like to know what spurred you to make it and what it was. And on the flip side, if there's a decision that you know you need to make but something is holding you back, and you want to share that too, we'd love to hear from you. So here's the deal. Yesterday, July 11th, was my rebirthday, which I've coined as that's what I'm calling July 11th, because it was the day 4 years ago that I decided I was sick of being a 400-pound guy, and I was sick of the way my life felt and the way I knew my life was going to be from that point on. And so I don't tell this story for accolades. I don't tell this story for you to say, oh, Brian, that's great. None of that. I tell this story only because it's important to me. And I know some people have been inspired, seems like I'm being pompous, and that's not it. But some people have heard that story and said, wow, that's helped me in my goal or my me to make a decision to, because it was one of those decisions that I had known for years that I had to make. You know, my knees were bad. My back was bad. I couldn't do anything. I was in good health, but the doctors kept warning me that this was not going to last, that I was in good health now. I was the healthiest fat guy they knew, but don't expect that to last, because pretty soon you will get high blood pressure. You will get high cholesterol, and you'll probably drop dead trying to climb some stairs. Now, on certain days, that doesn't sound all that bad. But overall, in the big picture, I thought, you know what? This is not when something that I want to happen. I want to be around. I want to be around for my wife and daughter. I want to be around for me. Cody would have wept horrible, horrible tears, some sort of racking spasms of grief had something happened to me. So for all those reasons, I decided it was time to make a change. Plus, I was vain. Even fat, I was vain. You know me, Cody. I love to dress.
That's what'll do it.
Even when I was, but I came home from vacation. We had been in Memphis, and I love Memphis mostly because I ate barbecue like it was going out of style. But I love Elvis and the music and the whole thing. And we came back from this vacation where we had also stopped at my alma mater, Southern Illinois, and I had had a wonderful time on this vacation, only to realize that I could not look at these pictures because they were so grotesque. And so I made a decision that I was going to have to change, and I started down this path, and it has been, it's a nonstop struggle. Because Fat Brian lurks not too far underneath. Oh, Fat Brian is always there. Fat Brian was at my house last night. We ordered pizza, and Fat Brian was at the table. He's like, oh, you know what? Come on. Eat six pieces of pizza. You can eat all that pizza. No, I can't. Oh, Fat Brian. Yes, you can. You could eat all the pizza. But I couldn't eat all the pizza. So anyway, it's changed my life for the better. And it was one of those decisions, like I'm sure many of you have gone through, where you know you have to make a decision, but it's overwhelming. It's daunting because you look at the end goal and you say, I can never reach that. But you can reach it. All you have to do is not be afraid. You not be afraid to fail sometimes, not be afraid of the hard work. Whether it's quitting smoking, whether it's, leaving a bad marriage or relationship, whether it's losing weight. There's a million different life-changing decisions that we all make. And some may not seem huge to somebody else. And others might seem monumental to everybody. But we all have those decisions that we make. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk to you about now, because it is important in my life and in my family's life that I made this decision and that I stick to it. Plus, Cody knows, you know, I'm loading the guns, boom, all the time. I'm hitting the gym. Taking the protein. My daughter came home from school and I've got the protein powder now because I, you know, now that I'm lifting hardcore, I take the protein after I lift, and she's like, what is this? And I said, oh, I have it when I come home from the gym. It's like a weightlifter lives here. I was like, well, I don't consider myself a weightlifter. I go to the gym, and you need protein to help build muscle, so that's kind of why I'm taking it.
You're pretty jacked.
Well, you know, I admire Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Who doesn't?
And so I want to be The Rock.
I smell what you're cooking.
Oh, of course you do, jabroni. Know your role and shut your hole.
Wow.
That's right. I came right at you with it.
I mean, it shut your mouth, but you were close.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
No, I go whole.
He likes to rhyme.
I do like to rhyme, and I'm surprised The Rock didn't rhyme more.
Yeah,
when he
me
did that.
Too.
Because know your role and shut your hole sounds much better than know your role and shut your mouth.
Yeah. Maybe it's like a why don't you make like a tree and get out of here kind of a thing, where he purposely sets up the rhyme and then messes it up.
Okay.
I'm overthinking this.
Oh, you are overthinking it. Let's go to the phones. And if you want to share, 312-981-7200. So that's my story. That was my life-changing decision. And it's an ongoing thing, you know, but it's become part of my life now. And I keep a lot of pictures of Fat Brian around the house. Kind of like the Confederate flag. I can't pretend he was never there, because for a long time he ruled the roost. So, you know, that would be like erasing my daughter's entire history up until she was 14. Because if I didn't have those pictures of me around, plus those pictures are a constant reminder of not wanting to go back. That's a constant reminder. When I get up at 4 o'clock and I'm at the gym at 5, it's a constant thing because I just don't want to go back. And I know you've made those decisions as well. So if you feel like sharing, we'd love to hear from you. Mike is in Elkhart. Hi, Mike.
Hi there. Not too long ago, I found out I was diabetic, and my doctor told me I have to get rid of all my colored socks.
All your colored socks? Why?
Because you can get them from the dyes.
Is that right?
That's what he told me. I don't know whether he's lying or not.
Okay.
So I went out and got a dozen white socks, and I said, hell, as long as I'm doing this, I got rid of all my colored pants, and I got nothing but 11 pairs of khakis now. So I can get dressed in the dark, because everything goes with khaki, and you can't screw up on the socks or the pants, and any shirt will go. So, boy, has my life become easier.
Okay. Very good. And what have you done to have you done other things to help your diabetes other than getting rid of the socks?
Yeah, no more apple pie.
Oh, it's tough, isn't it?
Oh, that's the toughest part. Apple pie without cheese is like a kiss without a squeeze. Man, I couldn't fork it in fast enough.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, Mike. Well, I'm glad it's working out for you. Thanks for sharing.
All khaki.
All khaki. That's the way to go. All khaki. Head to toe.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Mike. That's a good look. You're all khaki. I don't know. So somebody's sending me a text that I look better, heavier. A great-looking corpse. Nobody will be able to carry me.
Yeah, that was...
I don't know. I don't think that's true.
That's not.
I don't... Thank you, Cody.
I see old pictures of you, and it's weird.
It's... My wife says she doesn't remember that person.
Me neither,
that
really.
She looks... Yeah, and you were with me all the time.
But most of it was overnight, so that's the kind of a haze.
Right. We were all drowsy. But we did eat a lot in those shows.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Insatiable Insomniacs would come in, and we'd bring food in, and it was... Yeah, we were constantly eating.
Oh, well, we had to.
To stay awake, and we were on for about 18 hours.
Yeah.
We were on from... I think we were on from 10 at night until 10 to 5 in the morning. 10 to 5.
We sometimes did 7-hour shows.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, we did.
That's awesome.
Oh, my goodness.
We were good.
I tell you what, we were hardcore back then. So anyway, that was my... here's my message. Can I give a message? Can I give a little... And I don't know if it's an inspirational message. Feel free to take it in or toss it away. But the message that I can give you is don't be afraid. Because if you're afraid, no matter if your change is big, your change is small, no matter what you want to do, if you listen to the fear, you're never going to get anywhere. And so I was afraid that I'd never be able to lose the weight. I was afraid that, you know, I'm still afraid that I'm going to go back, but that just spurs me on to keep working hard. And it's the same for whatever decision you have to make. If you're scared to try it, if you're scared to fail, then it's never going to work out for you. So if you can learn, and I know, listen, this show is frivolous. We try to have a good time. We try to share information. We have conversations with you, and it's fun, and we love it. But sometimes it's nice to actually give, you know, hopefully a message that sticks.
Well, the message resonates with me. That happened to me one time.
What message resonated with
you? The don't be afraid to do a thing.
Yeah?
I did a thing one time.
What'd you do?
Made a major change.
What was your major change?
When I started here.
Really?
When I started at WGN Radio, I left a full-time salaried job with benefits at another radio station to take an internship here, which I don't know how the intern program works at WGN now, but back...
There isn't one anymore.
Yeah, back then it was literally like a few $100 a month.
Right.
Which doesn't really pay rent or anything. But I left a full-time salaried radio job doing that to be the production intern for the morning show because
right.
I wanted to do more, like, programming, producing, this kind of stuff
that
I'm doing. And that was 8 years ago.
And now look at you.
Now look at me.
Look at you now.
Regret every second of it.
Part of this car wreck of a show.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, you worked for Spike, and because you worked with Spike, then you got known to Spike's producer. And when I was looking for somebody, Jim Weiser, who was Spike's producer, put it a good word. I said, this kid Cody is going to be on the show. Oh, yeah, Cody's good. And so there you go.
Yeah, it all worked out. But
it all did work out.
It was a big deal because that was my job. I quit.
I love talking to people who pursue their passion. When I was in for Nick last week, I spoke to a man who had a really good job, and he always loved the ocean. He always loved dolphins. And so he left that job, and he began, or sharks, rather. He left that job and he started making films about sharks. And now he's about to release his second feature film about sharks. And he wrote a book. It was phenomenal. And you talk to people like that all the time. And that is the scariest thing, to leave, like Cody said, or like this guy did, to leave a secure job for something you have no idea. But you gamble on yourself. And that's the key. And let's say hi to Rita. She's in Roselle. Hi, Rita.
Hi, Brian. First of all, I wanted to congratulate you on your weight loss and your lifestyle change. I think that's wonderful.
Oh, well, thank you.
And I'm calling because the hardest decision I ever had to make was to leave my bad marriage. And I took one of my bosses into my confidence, and he said he knew all along there were problems, and he actually offered me a room in his home with he and his wife.
Oh, wow.
I never expected it. He was like a second father to me, and I never realized that I thought I was keeping everything under wraps. And
right.
He knew. So it blew me away. I never expected. I had no family with me. I lived on the East Coast, so they were 1,000 miles away, and they still didn't think I'd go through it, but I did. I left when he wasn't home, and I left a note, and I've had a lot of ups and downs in many years since we've been apart. However, I would not go back to that place, and I would not be that person again. I'm not the same person.
See, and congratulations on being strong enough to make that decision. And I can't imagine that one. That has got to be very difficult. But it's nice that you had somebody who stepped in, and especially somebody that you didn't expect. That's terrific.
Yeah, well, the one good thing was I didn't have to worry about children. That would have added, that probably would have gotten me to leave sooner rather than later. But stuff is, I've come to learn through my life's journey, you know, things crop up. We don't know why it happens, but it happens. There's a reason, and you go and you move on.
Exactly.
And so that's what I've been able to do.
Well, congratulations, Rita, and thanks for sharing your story. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Take
bye
care.
Bye
bye. Yeah, it's man. That's got to be the worst. You know, trying to leaving any kind of relationship is tough, but to leave a marriage is tough. And that's to have your boss step in, because we all think that we cover things up pretty well. You know, you come in here and you go to work and you're miserable and you think that nobody notices, but the people who are around you every day, they notice. They notice if you're unhappy. They notice if things, even no matter how good you think you are at covering things up, somebody is intuitive enough to figure out when something's wrong. And to have somebody actually be willing to help you like that is a wonderful thing. So good for her. Somebody wants to know if I could describe my diet. This is Perry. Well, all right. The quick version of it is my wife, 5 or 6 years ago, had signed up for Weight Watchers and had never done anything with it, and so all the books were up in the closet. And I met with somebody who, it was one of those fad diets that you hear advertised all over. And I met with those people, and I thought, I can't live like that, because you couldn't really eat anything. You couldn't drink anything. You couldn't do anything. And I thought, well, if I'm going to make this a permanent change, I can't deprive myself of everything, because then all I'll want to do is indulge and overindulge. So I came home and I was talking to my wife. I said, I have to do something that's feasible. And so she said, well, I have these Weight Watchers books. And she went upstairs, and I'm not endorsing their program. I'm not paid by them. I've never done anything with them. I'm just telling you what I did, and I used their old system. She brought down the books, and I literally blew dust off the covers of these books because they'd been in her closet for over a year. And that was on a Saturday, and I started on Monday, July 11th, 2011, and I just started following their program. And I was very, very strict with it, overly strict. I didn't eat all the points, which they don't recommend, but I decided I wanted, knowing me, if I didn't see results very fast, I was going to lose interest. And so I ate on their program, and I found things that I could substitute for things that I really craved, like sweets and things like that. And I'll tell you, in the last 4 years, I've gained a great appreciation for vegetables and fruit, and I eat a lot of that. And I don't eat nearly as much beef. I do still eat beef and chicken and all that kind of stuff. And the other thing was, I started exercising, and it was hard at first. I could only walk, you know, around the block. Then I could walk around a couple blocks. Then the walks got a little longer, and they got a little faster. And it wasn't, I didn't join a gym until I had lost 112 pounds.
Wow.
And yep. So.
Could I ask a quick question?
Sure.
I started about 5 months before you did. Lost okay. about 50 pounds.
Congrats.
Blood work. I think I mentioned this before on the show a couple months ago. I'm not sure. Blood work normalized. Cholesterol levels dropped, the whole deal, but I allow myself free meals.
Yeah.
Because you can't be perfect.
Right.
So do you like
now
not
I
ever
do.
Give yourself
Oh, no, no.
A
now
break,
I, no, now I do. Now I give myself breaks more, probably a couple more than I should.
But
now,
not out of the box.
Out of the box. I didn't have pizza until I lost 50 pounds.
No kidding.
And then I had pizza at 50 pounds, and then I didn't have it again until 75 pounds.
I start one free meal a day. And I've done it now for 4.5 years.
Well, see, and that's a good way to do it. And that's what Graham recommended, too, that, you know, give yourself, you have extra points. Because if you want to have
oh, yeah.
a day when you're
Weight
going
Watchers.
Out or you're doing
sure.
that, that was fine. But for me, no, and again, this is just me. Knowing myself, it was easier to not give myself the extra points or the free days than it was to take a free day and then go back to being strict.
Slippery slope.
Right. So yeah. I was very, very strict. And in the last year or so, I've started to, you know, Saturdays, I'll still be real good for breakfast and lunch usually. And then I'll have a couple beers with dinner, or I'll have, you know, a few things. I don't go completely overboard because I'm still...
Yeah.
You know, always thinking about it. But
that's good for you, because when I tried to diet before, for years, it was always black or white.
Right. That's
right. Gotta be perfect, or, you know, eat anything you want. And when I tried to do perfect after a certain period of time, the top would blow off and
right.
I would go crazy. So I thought, yeah. you know, this time I'm going to start, give myself a little break
sure.
all along the way. And it worked.
Well, the key for me was also finding things that I could substitute. Like, I love ice cream. Crazy. But I found this brand of kind of quote unquote diet ice cream that had these ice cream sandwiches and stuff. Oh, we got a break. Oh yeah, because we're gonna be late for the news.
Oops.
We've been talking about life changing decisions. I told you about mine. Cody told me about his, taking a leap and gambling on himself, leaving a full time radio job with benefits to come here as an intern 8 years ago. And look at the lofty heights he has risen to. And I said, I'm glad you left.
Thanks,
and
me too.
Here. That was nice. Andy's been holding on. Hi, Andy.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing good today. Thank you.
Good. So where are you at? What's your decision?
No, my decision is that you know, I've been struggling with alcohol for a while, and I have to give it up. I mean, it's something that has affected my life, which started off as fun
sure.
as a kid. And progressed, and now as an adult has got a grip, you know,
and
it's a struggle, but, you know, I just, got to kick it.
And that's, Andy, I know, I'm not just saying, I know a number of alcoholics who are now in recovery and who've been sober, thank goodness, for a long time. And it's really difficult. And it's not, you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. It's not going to be easy. But when you make that decision, there's a lot of places you can go and a lot of people who will support you and places you can get help. And, you know, they help you even if you make a mistake and have a relapse or you go back. You know, there's people there, and, you know, you can't worry about the relapses. You just got to think about the end game, which is, you know, you want to get more control over your life. And that's the decision you're making when you decide to stop, that you're going to take control of your life, whether it's with drinking or food or a job or a relationship. That's the bottom line, that you're going to take that, that control. And again, I know it's not going to be easy, but you can do it. If you want to, you can do it. And, you know, a lot of people don't like 12-step programs. I've seen people have great success with AA. I know some people who've done it on their own, and that's a tougher road. But there's plenty of places to help. And when you make that decision and take that first step, you know, I think it sounds like you want to do it. So you're going to feel better just taking that first step.
No, and I know plenty of people that, well, one of my buddies did it on his own and sounded like a struggle. My sister struggled with food addiction, and, you know, it's something that I've tried it out before. I've been sober for a long period of time before, and it was great. It's just some things in my life that just sort of creep back in, and,
sure,
you know, and I just got to, you know, defeat those demons.
And it's easy for things to creep in, man. That doesn't mean that you're weak or you're unusual, because everybody, whether it's your sister or me with food or somebody else with drinking or smoking or drugs, there's always those little cracks that make it easy to give in to old habits. But that doesn't mean that the next day you can't say, all right, listen, I screwed up today, but tomorrow I can start again. And that's the beauty of it. If you want to start again, it's right there for you to go after.
No, that's very true. I mean, I've been to AA for the last 4 days, so, you know, I feel a lot of hope, and that's the biggest thing is the hope, you know. Yeah. And plus, after a couple of days of sobriety, you start getting that clear thinking back and realizing that, you know, whatever, all the mistakes in your life was caused by this.
Yeah, and it's a powerful thing, man. It's easy. Like you said, there's some people who can drink and it's not an issue, and other people, it just gets a hold of you. And when things turn bad, that's an easy time to try to drown those sorrows. But as you said, once you start thinking clearly, you do get the hope back. And, you know, I'm not trained in this. I'm just telling you, I've seen it happen before, Andy, and you can do it. You can do it. I know you can. You saw, everybody listening to you hears it in your voice that this is something you've done before. You want to do it again. So, you know, just take that first step and know that there's people out there who are more than willing to help you. And you're not alone. You're not, you know, this is not something that only you suffer with. You can do it, man.
All right, brother. I appreciate it. And thanks for all your positive thoughts. And I'll give you a call back.
Please do, man. Let us
and let you know how I'm doing.
I hope you will. I hope you will, Andy. Good luck, man.
All right, brother.
Take care. It's a scary thing. And again, I have experience with a number of people who've done it both ways. And, you know, it's like anything. So, but again, I go back to you got to believe in yourself and take that gamble. Are you stronger than whatever you think has got a hold of you? And the level of work is going to be incredibly difficult. So I'm not trying to minimize anything. I'm not trying to say, hey, listen, I'm an expert. I'm not an expert. I know what worked for me in my situation. I've seen what's worked for other people in their situation. And so I hope it can work for Andy. And please, Andy, do get back to us. Let us know. Keep us updated. Listen, there's been people who've been with this show and have been listening to the show since Cody and I first got together, and even before Cody and I got together. And so, you know, if something's going on with you, let us know. And if you're working on something and it goes well, let us know. You know where we're at. We're easy to get a hold of. We don't hide, for the most part.